Blog Talk Radio.
Liftoff of Mission 41D, the first flight of the Orbiter Discovery, and the shuttle has cleared the tower.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first real launch broadcast of the Milwaukee Empire. It's me, Wayne Klingman, your host. And I'd like all true Americans to stand up, because right now with us today, we have probably one of the best podcast hosts in the whole effort. We're talking about Made in America, American manufacturing, all the cool things that come with it. We have, again, a true American, a true leader of manufacturing, a true hero of the empire. We give you, and I hope I don't mess up his name too badly, Gabe Glenn. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Wayne, you're too kind. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me join you today. It's an honor.
Oh, the honor is mine, sir. So how did you get involved with your podcast?
Yeah, you know, earlier this year, well, I guess let me jump back really quick. I grew up around manufacturing. My father was a machinist at a company called Goss Graphics in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where they manufactured giant printing presses for the newspaper industry. And unfortunately, newspapers are not things that people look at anymore. And after 23 years working there, he ended up finding himself unemployed. And he went back to school, got a degree, and became a safety manager at a facility there. He's got about 600 employees now that he's responsible for the safety for. So manufacturing has always kind of been a passion, and it's been in my blood. And so recently with the podcasting phenomenon and more people listening to podcasting, I got bit by the bug and started listening to some amazing podcasts out there. A lot of things on, you know, self-help, self-benefit, things like that. Things like Tim Ferriss's podcast and James Altucher. And then one day I said, you know, I wonder if there's anything good on manufacturing. And I went down this road of looking on iTunes, and I just couldn't find anything that I felt did a good job of telling the manufacturing stories. And so after a couple of weeks of thinking about it, I said, you know what, I'm kind of a smart guy, I think. Maybe I can figure out how to do this. And so with the wonder of the internet, I got online and started reviewing YouTube videos and reading blogs and learning about how to create, set up a studio, and how to edit and create these podcasts. And here we are, 6 months later, and we've got about 5,000 people listening to our show. So it's been a pretty fun journey.
Absolutely. I mean, I stumbled on yours. I went to iTunes, I searched, and I came across your podcast because I'm a big fan of manufacturing and what it can do for community. I came across yours. I heard one of the shows, I immediately subscribed, and I fell instantly with love with you, your show, and your guests. It's absolutely outstanding, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's really, it is all about the guests, though. There's so many amazing stories in manufacturing, as you know, Wayne. And my whole mission and goal was just to go out there and uncover those. And initially, when I set out to do it, I said, you know, these are the stories that I enjoy hearing anyways. As a hobby, I tour manufacturing plants. Not a lot of people know this, but a lot of them will let you take free tours. So I would sit down and I would ask people these questions and just hear these stories. And eventually I'm like, you know what, I ought to just start recording these and put them online. And you know what, if other people want to hear them, that's great. But at the end of the day, I know I'll have at least one listener, and that's me. And if anybody else wants to join in, that'd be great. And I was pleasantly surprised that more people out there in America and around the world want to hear these stories because they're fascinating.
One thing I can assure you, with my background in film, and I do one offhand called Indie Film Wisconsin, where I talk with filmmakers, is our people generally, if they have an interest in a subject, want to hear stories on the subject. And stories are very motivating and very driving, therefore very powerful. Yeah. I got to tell you hit a home run with that one. And it's important that we tell the story of manufacturing. I recently talked to our old county executive who went from being a county executive to running Racine area manufacturers in Commerce for a bit before he went on to another job. And he tried to get the school teachers to go to the different manufacturing shafts we have here, not with their classes, but as teachers. This is what we do here. This is what we do here. And he said it was like pulling hen's teeth to get people interested in doing that. And that surprised me.
You know, Wayne, I think you touched on something good. It's, another motivation of mine, too, is just understanding that young people consume podcasts. They consume internet content. And with manufacturing being something that's struggled, you know, in recent years to recruit and find great talent, I thought maybe this is a good way to help people, young people especially, understand that there are amazing things going on. And in an upcoming episode down the road, I've had a chance to tour a couple of facilities that kind of blend this education and manufacturing experience. It'll be fun to share them. One is a Rocket Manufacturing in a place called Rock Valley, Iowa. It's way, way up in the northwest corner. And they actually built a manufacturing plant onto the high school. And so these high school students get to kind of like a shop class on steroids. They get to go in for a couple hours every day, and they get to actually manufacture products for companies in the region up there. And so these kids are getting experience, you know, welding. They're getting experience 3D printing. They're getting experience bending and cutting and forming and all of these things. And they're doing it all at high school. And the high school uses that also as a way to make money to perpetuate the program. So just something like that on the college level. There's a campus called TechWorks up in the northeast corner of Iowa, up in the Cedar Valley area. And TechWorks is a collaboration between the University of Northern Iowa, Hawkeye Community College, and if I remember correctly, the Greater Cedar Valley Alliance. And there again, kind of the same thing. Now, the difference there was they had a little bit more funding, they had a little bit more backing, and I walked into a facility that had 5 3D printers using all different types of materials. I mean, metals, silicon, you name it. They're doing amazing things. So my hope is that you know, with projects like what you're doing there at Milwaukee Empire and what we're trying to do with the podcast here on AMP is that we get more and more attention brought to advanced manufacturing and more of these things start to pop up across the country. Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be wonderful, because when I look back at history, Milwaukee area, Racine area was the innovative hub of the world. I mean, we had Dremel tools invented here. We did a lot of work with fractional horsepower engines here, right? A giant case manufactured, they still do manufacture tap-and-line tractors here because they found the workmen that they needed. They found the innovative minds that they needed to make these things happen. It's wonderful what manufacturing can do for people. It truly, truly is. And I think it's great that we have you out there singing the praises of some really cool companies doing some really fantastic things there. Very, 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 very much so.
Well, I appreciate it. I think, you know, there again, credit goes to the people that are leading the charge in their communities, you know, people like yourself and people like the folks up at the Greater Cedar Valley Alliance and those that have rocket manufacturing and places like that. And, you know, I did an episode too early on where I went to a week-long summer camp at a manufacturing plant in Altoona, Iowa. And this particular plant, it's a fabrication shop, and they put on a week-long summer camp program for junior high students. So we're talking like 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And these kids got to come in for a week and get a hands-on experience manufacturing a product. They actually manufactured a bicycle for a local business. And it was just cool to see them get to, there again, weld and laser cut and do CAD design and CAD drawing. And I interviewed the kids and asked them, you know, what did you think manufacturing was before you came to the summer camp? And almost all of them said, well, like an assembly line, you know, where you're pushing a button or pulling a crank all day. And I said, so now what do you think it is? And they said, it's problem solving, it's art, it's creativity, it's challenge, it's innovation. It's all of these words that we love to hear associated with advanced manufacturing, but it's not until they get a chance to actually be exposed to it that they start to think like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. My grandson, my oldest grandson is 16, his brother is 8. They both like to get robotics. My grandson at 16 knows he'll get his exposure to robotics should he go to the local tech school, should he want to do that, or go to the university. He's very, very frustrated that the local high schools don't have anything for him, right? They don't even broach the subject. I have higher hopes that he'll get hooked up with some type of a school program that at least introduce him to the subject. But in the meantime, I have, being grandpa, right, I can buy them the different toys and stuff that allows them to build their own stuff. But I would like to see more of an effort done by the schools, because once they get it and they understand they can utilize it and they can play with it, you know, and working environment, the sky is the limit.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, exposure being such a big part of it, it's nice that we have access to all kinds of tools and things. I mean, you can buy at Costco now, you can buy a 3D printer. You can start getting introduced to things like SolidWorks and CAD drawing and programming and things like that at a young age if you want to. But it's just that initial exposure and, you know, getting that in front of young people and getting them the opportunity to see just how fun it can be. That's the challenge that we have to overcome.
Absolutely. And this, thankfully, there's all kinds of ways to do it. I think something that really helped my youngest daughter get involved with nursing was, of all things, watching the X-Files. I don't know if you're familiar with that old TV show on that, but Dana Scully was the doctor,
yeah.
Right? And she, we watched as a family. And it was like, well, if she can be a doctor and lead this investigation, I want to be a nurse. I want to be a medical, too. I like medicine. I like what it can do for people. Now she has a master's degree in nursing. She's making more money than God. God should make the money, right? And she's ecstatic, and she gets full credit for the fact that she's watched X-Files, of all things.
Well, that's another good point, Wayne. I was having a conversation just this morning with my friends over at the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. They're a sponsor of my podcast and formerly the Iowa Manufacturers Association, but a big business association here in Iowa, just doing fantastic things. And I talked to one of their program directors and said that in an upcoming event, I'd really like to interview some women in manufacturing, women in leadership roles in manufacturing. And I think it's important for young women to understand that there's so much opportunity for them to excel and to stand out and be a part of that community. But there again, I think they need somebody to help encourage that, somebody to tell the story of how they were able to do it so they can put themselves in their own shoes and they could maybe follow down that. There's just so many good stories like that to be told.
Absolutely. And I'm a big believer in using history as a way to educate kids that what people have been able to do in the past is no reason why things can stop them now. And both men and women throughout history have been great inventive minds to move industry and medicine forward. I think it's so nice that at least if all spells, we can go to the library with our kids or our grandkids and help them find books in the library that might help them become inspired.
Yeah, what inspired you about advanced manufacturing? How did you get involved?
Well, sir, to make it bluntly, the Milwaukee Empire's goal is to promote the Milwaukee area and promote manufacturing as a resource for youth. Because where I live now, we used to be running 24/7. You get all kinds of cool jobs. That's died away. Most of the jobs here, sir, are minimum wage. So what can we do now to improve that? It's easy. We can help the kids find the jobs that they pay more than minimum wage, which are done in manufacturing more often than that, that they can go to the local technical school and get the training for to get these jobs. Where when they get out of it after a couple of years, they have a job walking out the doors. They don't have a 4-year degree necessarily, but also don't have enough student debt that would buy a house. It's what can we do to educate them for the jobs which are available in the area that they can excel in and provide for themselves and their family. Simple as that.
Boy, that's a whole podcast in and of itself, is the education system and the challenges that are facing young people today coming out with so much debt, it'll just be nearly impossible for them to get out of it. And it is a head scratcher when you look around at the jobs available in manufacturing. And these are great jobs. These are fantastic
jobs.
These are high paying jobs. They're high joy, high fulfillment for the types of things that are out there in manufacturing. And people just aren't aware that there's a path there to do that.
And sir, I don't want to be negative here, but this begs the question. Using my grandson example, at 16, he comes home, he comes to visit us, right, and he talks about college because that's where his teachers want to go. And I mentioned trade school because we have a great one with Gateway, Gateway Technical College here in Racine. And he goes, oh, no. When I mention technical school, the one robotics, I get told only losers go to tech school. What? Only losers go to tech school? You know, I don't even understand how that can even come out of another school. I don't get that.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some success down here, Wayne, with manufacturing owners really engaging guidance counselors and having them come out and take a look at their facilities, and even being willing to go in and speak to some of the classes and talk to the young people about the trades and about the trade opportunities. And not just because it's advanced manufacturing, but because it's, you know, a lot of engineering. It's just a lot of technical knowledge. To your point, the robotics and things, yes, I get it. Manufacturing companies have to automate. They have to put automation in. There's just not enough people in the labor force to help them produce the goods that they do. But somebody still has to program those robots. Somebody still has to run those robots. Somebody still has to maintain those robots. And those are great jobs, too.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, given the choice between getting a job at McDonald's at minimum wage, or after 2 years learning HVAC and earning $50,000-$60,000 a year, to me it's a no-brainer. You go to tech school for 2 years, get that technician's job, and then you can do what you want. You know, wherever you go, you have a job. You can also go to take your time, make up some money in a bank account. Maybe you go to school at nights and weekends, but at least you have a good job that's always going to be there that will pay the bill and provide for you and your family.
I also think that there's some joy in knowing a skill, having something that you can use to create something. That's something that a lot of people can't say they have the ability to. And I can tell you that growing up in a manufacturing family and growing up in a trade family, I can do just about anything that I need to do around my house, from appliance repair to, you know, some remodeling things, to fixing things, troubleshooting, and it saves me hundreds, if not thousands of dollars every year being able to do those on my own instead of having to pick up the phone every time and call somebody to do that.
Do it for you. Yeah, absolutely. I know my father worked for Bradger Army Ordnance Plant. We call it a powder plant. They used to make bombs for the Army during the Vietnam War. And he was a tinker. He'd come home and we'd tinker on this. We'd build this, we'd build that. It was a good father and son thing to do. I mean, the idea of all the cool things that manufacturing or understanding knowledge of tools does for someone is absolutely, to me, mind-boggling. It needs to be encouraged far more than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and with the accessibility of being able to learn things online on YouTube or blog sites or things like that, everything's just so accessible. And I just think that things are going to be changing, Wayne. I have a positive outlook. I think that the education system as it is right now is not sustainable. The debt load that kids are taking on is not sustainable. And that entire thing is going to get turned on its head, and people are going to rediscover the joy of manufacturing.
I agree with you 100%. I think what got that firmly planted in my head. Did you see the movie Print the Legend?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Print the Legend is something you can find on Netflix. It's about 3D printers. And they talk about a bunch of, I want to say, two manufacturers and a couple of people who use those products and build different things. And every time, I've watched it a lot, every time that I show it to someone else, especially somebody who's kind of sort of interested in tinkering, you can see their eyes light up. You can see, my God, if they can do it, what can I do with one? You know, and it's very inspirational because, to me, it's inspiring because you get to see both successes and failures. You get to see what people have to do to persevere to go beyond obstacles. And you see people do it. You know, you think that they can't possibly overcome this obstacle. You see them try different things until they succeed. They don't take no for an answer. They go above and beyond their calling necessarily, but they get it done. And that, to me, is inspirational. When you see other people do it, you can sit there and say for yourself, if they can, I can.
Yeah, I mean, people with grit are impressive in and of themselves, and I think that that's a bit of a common theme in the folks that I've had a chance to interview. I've really enjoyed hearing the weird and winding and strange stories. You know, for example, the most recent episode where I interviewed a gentleman that runs a company called Crichton Engineered Metals in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and it's a metal spinning company. And just the story of how he, you know, was throwing spuds in the back room with his friends at the grocery store, and his supervisor walked through the door and he drilled his supervisor and got fired on the spot. And had to take a job so he could graduate. So he started sweeping the floors at a metal spinning shop, and he didn't even know what that was. And then after deciding not to go to college, he decides to give a hand at metal spinning and ends up, you know, 36 years down the road later, and quite a few other stories in between. You know, he's got an amazing company, and he's got 80 plus people metal spinning for him, and he supports them and their families.
Absolutely. I like the Marine who started with the hobby making gun oil, right?
Blake Rupp, yep.
Absolutely. Now he makes body armor, which helps other people. And in telling his story, right, he's not abolishing his story, he's telling the facts of the matter, he speaks of having cancer. But yet, doing what it takes, not only making sure his company is simply in existence, but taking it to the next level, when many people I know with cancer would simply give it all up. But he's doing what it takes, and I think that's because he's a Marine, and Marines are taught in basic training, don't give up.
Yeah, that was a fantastic story. That was the first, I think, startup manufacturer that I've had a chance to interview. And then it wasn't long after that interview that I actually got to go down and tour his facility in Southern Iowa. And it was such an inspirational story. And to see the people that he has working there and the pride in the product that they're putting out, because they're saving lives. They know that they're saving lives with this body armor. And that's what continues to motivate him day in and day out. And thank God he had the guts and the grit to pull through the cancer and to pull through the challenges that he faced early on, because the world needs products like his, and he's saving lives with it.
Yes, definitely. And the fact that he's showing he's leading by example, right? I can't help but, in my own life, when I meet people like that, thank God that I do, when I'm having a bad day or I'm feeling down out because something's not going my way, I often look at them and say, okay, this is his situation. This is what they have to persevere through. They can do it. I'm not going to let my small problem bother me at all. I'm simply going to get it done. And telling those stories is very, very empowering, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, I appreciate it. It's been very eye-opening and inspirational for me as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, all the interesting, and that's where we can excel at, because we're blessed with having the ability to find different people with tools that we find free online, right? We have phones, we can talk to anybody in the world, should we find the right guests and bring them on and talk about their manufacturing ideas, correct?
Yeah, you bet. In fact, the one I'm working on getting edited, hopefully, and getting out either today or tomorrow is with a company in England. And it's not a manufacturing company, but it is a digital marketing company that specializes in B2B manufacturing, where a company wants to sell their product internationally. So maybe they've only sold in the United States, but now they want to spread into Europe and China and maybe Africa or South America. And they help them design and execute the strategy of how they do that digitally, how they do that online, and the research and the execution that comes with it. So although they're not a manufacturer, they play a big role in manufacturing. And it was my first opportunity to reach out to somebody outside the United States and hear just another interesting story.
Well, there's all kinds of interesting stories. Now, I want to turn to DAPA, of all people, that started a podcast. I heard the first one they did yesterday. And they will have some interesting stories, because not only what DAPA does, but the crazy geniuses they have working for them should be very, very inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds – are you a fan of Mike Rowe's podcast at all?
No, I've never even heard of it. Thank you. What does he talk about, sir?
Mike Rowe is he's the former host of Dirty Jobs and been a TV personality for a long time, but he is a big champion of manufacturing, and his foundation, Mike Rowe Works, has a scholarship program to send people through trades and trade schools. And his podcast, his shows, everything that he does typically surrounds advanced manufacturing. So I really enjoy following his journeys as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many stories. I mean, one of my calls for, I like to do is try to encourage people to buy American. And I know sometimes it's hard to do because I don't think you can buy, say, an iPhone of a smartphone of any type or a computer that's primarily made in America, can you?
Boy, I don't know. I haven't seen much. In fact, the only thing I've seen on the news lately is, you know, the challenges with Samsung right now and basically stopping production of their Note 7 because it was a failure.
It's catching fire, yeah, in the meantime, yeah. Yeah, and I know, I don't mean to be conspiratorial, I don't, but I would hope that, and I know you can't compete against economics, right? I mean, you might not be able to build a phone in America that will ever compete with something made in China. I get that, right? But I would hope that people who can are trying to at least figure that stuff out, because I, for one, would support it. If I feel more comfortable if I go to a store and can buy a drill bit, say, made in the United States, even though I'm paying a little bit more than one made in China, because one, when I buy it made in America, I know I'm supporting American jobs and American company.
Yeah, I think that's a great mentality to have. And there are, you know, so many good companies that are trying and fighting tooth and nail to keep production over here, to keep their workforce over here and, you know, outsource only as few things as possibly needed so that they can maintain the jobs here.
Right.
But, to, you know, to our point towards the beginning of the show today where we were talking about just the challenges in finding a workforce, you know, things need to change there or it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. We just won't have the jobs and the people here to be able to do it.
Absolutely. And that thankfully, there's people out here like you, sir, trying to promote this to other people, and people are paying attention. Where can we find you online, sir, before we let you go for the time constraint?
Yeah, our website is www.advancedmanufacturingpodcast.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. If you search Advanced Manufacturing Podcast, our AMP logo shows up. And then also on Facebook, we're on facebook.com/manufacturingpodcast. And we try to put stories out there and we try to share the episodes and some of the manufacturing tours and things on Facebook as well. So,
and if people like to talk to you or get a hold of you to talk to you about something, how's the best way that they do that, sir?
Yeah, either message through Facebook is fine, or you can email me host@advancedmanufacturingpodcast.com. We're always looking for great stories to tell in manufacturing, show suggestions, and I certainly love getting feedback from people, both positive and negative. The only way that I'll get better is if people give me suggestions on how to improve, so those are always welcome as well.
Outstanding. Well, sir, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for what you're doing for manufacturing in the state of Iowa and what you're doing as an American for this great country that you live in. With that, sir, I'd like to thank you again for your time and wish you the very, very best. May God bless.
Wayne, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on today, and I look forward to the relaunch of your show and following that as well.
Well, this link will be live in about 30 seconds. So with that, sir, you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Folks, a great guest. I can't think of a better guest to have in the relaunch. Anyway, with that, to get a hold of me, the best way to do it is by my email, which would be, of course, wclingman@wi.r.com. Again, wclingman@wi.r.com. And I live on Twitter. So if you want to get a hold of me other than my email, the best way is to follow me on Twitter, and you can do that with the @CLLBadger, @ColonelBadger. We'll find the Milwaukee Empire on Twitter. Thank you. Also, I have a Facebook page called Made in Milwaukee. So with that, you guys have a great day. Talk to you all soon. Again, a great podcast day with a fantastic guest. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to y'all soon. Bye-bye.